You know, this congregation never ceases to amaze me at how supportive you are to one another. In the 4 years that Amanda and I have been going here, it seems that not only is this congregation, but the families of the congregation that comes in from out of town over the summer, it just seems like y'all are very supportive of all the things that are going on. And yesterday I was amazed yet again to see the church turning out for Jake and Christina's wedding and how awesome of a time it was of fellowship and supporting them in their new life together. And I just want to say thank you for that. That is a very encouraging thing for me. And it makes me proud to be a member of this congregation here. It makes me proud to be a member of the Lord's body. You know, Jake and Christina, they had their wedding yesterday. And with all the work that was put into it, with all the, you know, the effort that was placed upon that one event, it was tiring. And I know there's probably quite a few in here that are pretty beat. But that's the easy part. That's the easy part. The hard part is now on Jake and Christina to continue to keep their commitments to one another. You know, they've said their vows to one another. They had the ceremony. And now it's up to them to keep it straight, to keep walking the walk. As I was thinking about staying true to our course, I looked at Peter. Looked at Peter, and you know how many people have walked on the water that we know of? How many? We always talk about Jesus walking on the water, but there's two people who walked on the water. And you know what? After Peter walked on the water, you know what Jesus said to him? You of little faith. You're telling me the guy who had faith enough to step out of the boat, I mean, he had faith enough to step out when everybody else was, you know, they're all afraid back in the boat. And I mean, I'm sure he was afraid in the boat too, but at least he had enough gumption to get out of the boat and walk towards Jesus. So why did Jesus tell him that you had little faith? I mean, he had faith enough to get out of the boat, but he didn't have faith enough to continue his walk to Jesus. You see? Whenever he got into, he made the plunge into where he needed to be at that time, but he just got distracted. He got, you know, his attention was diverted by all the things that were going on around him. And because of that, he began to sink. You know, over in Acts chapter 11, the church at Jerusalem had just heard about, of course, we were in a reading previous about the Gentiles being introduced into the church. And after that happens, these people go all over the place, you know, from the persecution. They're teaching and spreading the gospel all around. And now the Gentiles are brought in. And very shortly after that, in chapter 11, I'm in chapter 10. There we go. Now the apostles and the brethren, verse 1, who were throughout Judea, heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And then as we get down to verse 19, so then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one but to the Jews alone. But there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. So this is the first real introduction of the Gentiles into the church, is here in Antioch. And the church at Jerusalem hears about what's going on there. You know, this this solid group of people who have history going back all the way to, you know, past Abraham, and they know exactly what the law says, and they have seen the fulfillment of it in Jesus, and you know, all their trust is in their history. And they hear about this church in Antioch that's mostly Gentiles. These folks that, well, they probably don't know what in the world's going on. They don't know where we come from. And so they pick out this fellow Barnabas. I would like to have known Barnabas just to see what kind of character this fellow had. That his name was Justice, but the apostles who walked around with Jesus thought enough of him to call him the son of encouragement. They picked him out and said, "We want you to go and check out this church in Antioch. See what's going on there. Because we want to know. We want to know if these people are on board, if they're right or wrong, or what's happening." And so they send Barnabas. In verse 23, "Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God..." Now we could probably go into that and find, you know, what is witnessing the grace of God? Me personally, I think he saw that there were a lot of folks who maybe didn't really have it all together, but they were trying. And God was blessing them because of that. I like to think about that because, you know, I don't have it all together sometime. And I hope whenever people see me, they go, "You know what? Bill's got the grace of God in his life because he's trying." Well, so he sees the grace of God, whatever that might mean. And he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. These people who were Gentiles, they were new to this thing, they were apart from the Jews, and who knows, and we see as of later, the Jews don't really treat the Gentiles too well in the church. But Barnabas, whenever he sees these people and he sees what's happening there, and he says, "I want you to remain faithful to the Lord because it's worth it." And so today I come to you and I'm going to tell you the exact same message that Barnabas told the church at Antioch. That we as Christians need to remain true to the Lord in our walk. We need to remain true to our Lord. There are so many things in life that can get us distracted and pulled away, and it's worth it staying with the Lord. It might be difficult sometimes, but that's what we need to do as a church. And so I've got a few questions. In looking at this idea of remaining true to the Lord, I had a few questions, and so I'm going to present those questions and answers that I've come up with to you. First of all, well, what does that look like? What does remaining faithful to the Lord look like? And those of you who are in the Wednesday night James class downstairs, y'all probably got an idea where we're going with this. So if you would turn to James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 22 tells us most of all what remaining faithful to the Lord looks like. What it looks like. And we're going to be staying in James chapter 1 pretty much for the rest of the lesson, so y'all could just put your mark there. In verse 22 it says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word." Doers of the word. And not merely hearers only, who delude themselves. There's some things that are implied in that. First of all, what does remaining faithful, remaining true look like? You have to know the word. He says, you need to hear the word, but then you got to follow that up with doing what you've learned. You need to follow that walk. You need to keep your mind in the book. You need to find out what God's will is for us. We need to be focused in that. And in looking at what God's will is, we need to apply that to our life. And continually walk. Continually grow in that. Well, you might say, well, who's James talking to in this? Who's James talking to? In verse 16 of chapter 1, he says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." James is talking to the brethren. He's talking to the people who he considers brothers. Brothers and sisters, do the word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. You might wonder, why is James telling his brethren, I want you to be doers of the word. I want you to do what God wants you to do. In verse 17 and 18, he says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. James tells us, first of all, you have to understand that God gives you good gifts. Only good and perfect things come from God. And whenever you look to Him, there's only blessings in life. Even the rough times that you go through are for your benefit. They are for your good, because God only gives you good things in life. And he says, in the exercise of His will, this is going to tell us a little bit about what God wants. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth. Brought us forth from what? Well, that wicked lifestyle that we were living before. Before you became one of the brethren, you were alienated. You were far off. You were lost in sin. And now He says, in the exercise of God's will, God exercise His will by bringing you near to Him. Oh, why should we be faithful to God? Because He is faithful to us. He is faithful and true and will never give up on you. And so it's only in return that we should be faithful and never give up on God, because whatever He gives us in this life, we can know for sure that it's only good and perfect gifts. That's what comes from God. You know, there's another reason why we should be doers of the word. And this is Bill's observation. You can make of it what you will. But today we have with us the Pruitt family and the Collins family. And if you look at the Pruitt family, yesterday we had a picture of a great-grandmother, a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter who are all Christians, who are all faithful members of the church. And then on the other side, you have grandparents. On the Collins side, you have grandparents, parents, and children that are lined up eye deep, and all of them are Christians also and faithful brethren. You see, whenever we walk a faithful walk, we pass on a heritage to our children. Whenever we walk a faithful walk, we influence the world, because it's not just me and my Christian example. Whenever little Marie grows up, my faithful walk will show her what a faithful walk looks like, so she can show her children what faithful walks looks like. And that's important to me. And that's important to God. Or else He wouldn't have said in the Old Testament, you teach your children whenever they wake up, whenever they lay down, whenever they walk. You teach them what they need to be. Because that's how we make a heritage for ourselves. And for our church. And for our families. So you want to know why? One, God's faithful to us. And He only gives us good things. So we should be faithful to Him. But also, we should be faithful to Him because our family depends on us. Church family and our relationship family. Our blood family. And you might say, well, Bill, you've talked about the whys. You've talked about, you know where all these great things come from. You talk about who James is talking to, but how are we supposed to do these things? How are we supposed to remain faithful? And you know what? James addresses that too. Down in verse 21, he says, therefore, since he's talked about all these things about being brought out by the word of truth, so that we could be the first fruits of His creatures. He says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness. Whenever Jesus sat down and washed the apostles' feet, Peter, I love Peter, he said, Lord, don't just wash my feet, but wash me from head to toe. And Jesus said, if you've already been clean, if you've already been cleansed, then you don't need to be washed from head to toe. You just need to have the dirt washed off your feet. That's Bill's paraphrase. We in this world walk around, and there's dirty paths all around us. There's just dirt and filth all around us in our lives. We're inundated with all kinds of things in our society that are just filthy. They're just filthy. And all the things that are out there, we need to put all that aside. We need to put away all the filthiness that this world has to offer us. But then James hits a little home. He says, and all that remains of wickedness. Well, the filthiness is what's on the outside. The wickedness is what's on the inside. You know, whenever I became a Christian, I wasn't a perfect person. Now, God washed all my sins away, which made me clean, but I still had a lot of bad habits. I still had a lot of things that I got caught up in that I didn't need to be in. As I'm sure others out there may be able to understand. And James says, not only are you to abstain from the things of the world, you need to put away all that filth, but you need to take that wickedness that you've got that's in your heart, that you've been practicing all those years before you were a Christian, and you need to take that out and cast it away because it's not doing you any good. You put away the filthiness of the world, and you remove all that remains of wickedness. And in humility, receive the word implanted within you. That word that brought us forth, that word of truth that brought us from that lost state. He says, receive the word that's implanted. And that word, just because I want to look scholarly, talk about the Greek for a minute. It's in the aorist tense. That's kind of, it's a tense that means it's continual. It is a continual thing. So whenever he says, in humility, receive the word implanted, he's actually saying, in humility, continually receive the word that's implanted within you. continually receive that word that's implanted within you. It's not something that you do once and it's over with. It's something that you have to put into your walk, into your daily life. You need to put off the filth of the world. You need to take that wickedness that's still inside of you and cast it away. And what God brought you from sin with, you need to put it in your heart. You need to put it into your life and always receive it. Always be open to what God has to say to you. And then James follows that with, but prove yourselves doers of that word, not just hearers only. That takes us full circle to the what that looks like. That's the how we are to put those things in this life aside that would hinder us from our walk. If you are walking through your life and you have a storm, I mean, you've jumped out of the boat and you're on the waters and you see where Jesus is, but then there are things in your life that get you distracted from where you need to be focused on, you need to get rid of it. Jesus said, "If what shall a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There are things in this world, for good or bad, that will distract you from God. And if anything stands between you and keeping your eyes on Jesus and receiving the word that God has given you, then you need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. Now my challenge to this congregation of people here today, my challenge is, we're talking about receiving the word and then finding what that word is and doing it. James is a great book. And my challenge to you is, this week, I would like for you to read the book of James once a day. It's only 5 chapters. It doesn't take very long. 15 minutes, you can read it all. Put aside 15 minutes to read the book of James once every day. And look to see what being a doer of the word looks like. Because that's really what the book of James is all about. Doing the word. And so I'm not gonna continue this sermon much longer. But I want you to continue this sermon by reading the book of James once a day this week and see what you can learn. See what you can learn that God has to give to you. You might also ask one more question. One more question. When do we become the brethren that James is talking to? When do you become a brother or a sister in the family of God? In Galatians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." It doesn't matter who you are, what path you've walked, what your bloodline is. If you are baptized into Christ and put Him on, you become one of Abraham's descendants, making yourself a child of God and an heir to the promise of eternal life. If you've not put on the name of Christ in baptism as of yet, there's no better time than today to do this. And if you have put on the name of Christ and you haven't continued your walk the way you should, you haven't put off the things of this world, renew yourself today. Confess those sins, and God is faithful to forgive. If there's any need that you have, please.